We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that guy over there. The one, the only, the incomparable Dan Rubenstein, sir. How are you?
I sound worse than I am, I think, right now. But maybe that's applicable to a number of teams. Maybe we can apply that,
ooh,
you know, appearing to be worse than, you know, maybe sort of under the radar, pretty healthy, though at first glance, maybe not. I'm okay. Otherwise, this is one of the hazards of living with germ magnets of children, and I'm going to have minor head colds here and there. So I can't complain. I'm drinking my tea. I'm ready for week 9, an enormous week 9, which I'm sure we're going to get into momentarily, nicknaming and otherwise. But come on, Ty, life is good. I can't complain.
Life is good. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to go on out to solidverbal.com. That's where you can find our website and all the ways to subscribe, to follow along with the podcast. You can also read the 3 articles that we post on a weekly basis from Travis Connor and Bradley to get you prepped and ready to go for week 9. Also, SolidSaturday.com is one other way that you can support the show. That is our YouTube channel, and that is the live stream that we do at 11 a.m. Eastern time every Saturday. And finally, Verballers.com is still running wild. It is still going
so
to town. Our Discord server is a cool place to hang throughout the course of every college football weekend. We also offer this show and many other shows early and in video form for those who are interested. So again, verballers.com, verballers.com, Daniel.
Yeah, recent conversation topics on the Discord server and multiple channels, of course, on the server. Pants, shorts, charcuterie boards, head coaching searches, upsets, what's going on with Penn State, travel to Europe? I believe it's all over. It's so good. It's a great community. And I love that you describe it in a way that a parent would try to convince their child to invite their friends over to this house instead of going out like, hey, our basement's a cool place to hang. Oh, I won't hear otherwise. It's a great, cool place. So I agree with everything
the
you said.
Cool. And basement of the college football ether. Yes, come on over to verballers.com. You know, Dan, I don't know where people are listening to this show right now. My sense is that the good people of the world are washing their cars on their lunch break or maybe hosing and scrubbing as best they can in skirts and shorts, suits.
Going for a bike ride in Antwerp.
You know, they drive shiny Datsuns and Buicks back to the phone company, the record store too.
I see where you're going with this.
I was thinking maybe a Sheryl Crow Saturday, because all I want to do is have some fun.
A Sheryl Crow Saturday.
Yeah.
Is she on the line?
I don't know. Sheryl Crow may be busy. Too busy for this show.
Oh, man. So I initially thought Sibling Saturday, for obvious reasons with Michigan, Michigan State, but I don't know how applicable it is across the sport. I thought to myself, so prove it. So prove it, Saturday.
It's not
Georgia,
bad.
You're a national championship contender, so prove it. Baylor, you've turned a corner, so prove it. Iowa State, you're not going to lose in a dumb way, so prove it. Michigan, you're going to finish the year as a top five-ish team, so prove it. Win on the road against a great squad.
I do have another option here.
Yeah.
Because so many teams are exposed.
Oh.
And have nowhere to hide.
Yeah? String Bikini Saturday?
No, not quite String Bikini Saturday.
Yeah?
And they've also trimmed out all the excess fat and fabric.
Uh-huh.
And they still have the confidence to go out there. I was thinking maybe Singlet Saturday as an option.
That's not bad. I like Singlet Saturday. I used to own a singlet. I've been on camera wearing a singlet. I know how vulnerable one must feel in a singlet if one is not used to wearing a singlet. The other option that I landed on, you can determine. It's your call here. You're controlling things in the final edit, so whatever goes, goes. I have Stowaway Saturday. Who's actually got a ticket to a November performance, a November ranking, wherever they are or wherever they hope to be? A Stowaway Saturday. Who actually has a ticket to be punched? Not necessarily to the playoff, but who is, it's sort of a separation Saturday to honor Chris Fowler, but like it's contenders versus pretenders versus Stowaway Saturday.
Here is what we're going to do. We are going to do a poll on this because I think we have three really good ones. I mean, we could even throw Sheryl Crow Saturday in there if we want to. I don't count that among the good ones, but we'll put a poll out on the Twitter account.
I almost pulled the clip from the Brady Bunch movie of Greg and Marcia making out for Sibling Saturday, and I decided, you know what? That wasn't a good decision then. It probably isn't now.
We appreciate everybody stopping on by. Yes, we are going to walk through week 9 here in painstaking detail, do our best to take you through Sibling or Singlet or Stowaway Saturday, what have you. Before we get into the picks, though, what was your general vibe, your general feel looking at the games this weekend? Because as you know, through week 7 through week 8, we didn't have what would appear on the surface to be very high level matchups, just matchups, these gravitational matchups that you have to drop everything you're doing and you have to watch. And look, as the story as 2021 has unfolded, we know that it is the quiet ones.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you don't have those headlining matchups, you still have a certain amount of requisite craziness. But now as we steer into week 9, it is apparent that we've got some of those. We've got some of those big matchups. We've got Florida, Georgia. We've got Michigan, Michigan State. We've got Penn State, Ohio State. Yeah. Even if these games on the surface, like Penn State, Ohio State, don't appear like they may be close, there are significant undercurrents.
Honestly, and this is not intended to be an alliterative descriptor like we had just finished doing, but there is a part of me that looks at a lot of the matchups and a lot of the narratives, a lot of the storylines as like a second chance, a second chapter, right? When you look at a lot of these teams, headlining matchups, maybe a little less so than headlining matchup, like Michigan rewriting perhaps this second half of the Michigan, of the Jim Harbaugh tenure, right? With the new coaches, whatever. Wisconsin coming on a little bit stronger than where they were early on in the season with a couple impressive wins. Now it's Army and Purdue, whatever, but they're favorites at home in a big rivalry. It's the Heartland Trophy, I believe they're playing for, right? It's Miami having a second chance with a new quarterback. It's Baylor with a bounce back, or Texas with a bounce back, right? It's Iowa State with a couple of early losses that were ugly and mistake prone, but here's the second chapter part of their season. So I think across the board, right, like Notre Dame with the fits and starts on offense, but like they've gotten things together a little bit on the offensive line. They're a little bit more productive. They have momentum. So across, I mean, Ohio State with their loss, right? They haven't really played anybody to really push them to show out what they really are. But with the Penn State defense, at least, this is the exclamation point on the second part of their season. So I think that across the sport is a through line.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm excited to dive in. Let's just dive in. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
I don't know how much help we could offer, but it is week 9, and we are going to give our picks and walk you through some of the big games of the weekend. I did have trouble with the window this week. Mm. There are really, good games this weekend. And they are also, I think, uniformly spread out over the course of Saturday. Early, you've got the Michigan-Michigan State game. You've got Iowa-Wisconsin. Depending on where you are in the country, where you are in your life, really, let's be honest, that may not be of very much interest to you. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe an early window is best. But then I look and I see, oh, crap, Texas and Baylor is also at 12 o'clock, which I think could be a very good matchup.
Miami-Pitt.
I suppose if I were picking, I would say, depending where you're at, either go early and do something early or go late. But I would not want to miss that 3:30 block because I just put a lot on Georgia and Florida.
I would, if you have to, if you must choose a window, I would actually go late because I think the potential there for ugly weirdness, like I don't know what to expect from Notre Dame, North Carolina. Now, you're not going to choose that window to skip because that's your team. If it involves your team, you should by all means. I don't need to tell you this. Watch your team. Watch your games. But you are of the mind, and not to spoil your take because you will go in further detail, that Penn State might be circling the toilet bowl, right? Mm-hmm. After last week's loss.
Yep.
So there could be potential for ugliness there considering Ohio State's absolutely monumental ceiling as an offense. So I would watch those games. I am going to watch those games. But in terms of ugliness potential, the night window might capture that more than the other ones. But I don't know. That's just a guess, obviously.
Well, let's start early, Dan. Let's start on the Fox Network. This one is at high noon. It is Michigan on the road, a 4-point favorite.
Yeah. Double, what is it, Big Noon Saturday and game day, both on campus? Wow.
Michigan -4 against Little Brother.
Oh, Mike Hart will be in the building. Michigan coach, Michigan assistant.
Michigan State versus Michigan. This is a big game. Michigan State won the game last year. You may recall 27-24. It was one of Michigan State's two wins. Mm-hmm. So potentially a revenge spot for the Wolverines. I will say this from a prediction standpoint. I think this is a big time danger zone, dude. This is a big time danger zone.
Okay.
Because I still don't know if either of us can measure how good either of these teams are.
Well,
I probably give a slight edge to Michigan State if you're just looking at the resume so far, because they won 4 road games. They beat Nebraska at home. Fine wins on that schedule, no doubt about
it.
I look back at it, though. They're good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I just don't know how good. And the same is true for Michigan.
So do you have a conclusion?
Well, what worries me is this. And this is more of a question than, I guess, a prediction. What worries me is that if this is a tight game and Michigan's run game gets bottled up like it did against Rutgers, can we count on your boy Cade Snacknamara to switch it on and throw a little bit downfield and open the game up a little bit more?
Right.
Other than making it a punt fest.
It's important. And it continue.
And that's what worries me, you know, because Michigan has not really shown that element of their offense. Michigan as a team has not passed a whole lot this season. They've attempted the 12th fewest passing attempts in FBS college football. And look, it's fine when it works. It's working fine for Georgia. They're like one pass attempt more than Michigan this year. Works great for them, but they've got the defense.
Also, Georgia has completed passes downfield at a more impressive clip. So Georgia has the number 7 most explosive passing offense. Michigan is, well, they're at 23, but their efficiency rate is like 104th. Like, it's the in-between stuff is not great. Georgia's is 3rd. Continue.
So I guess what I'm saying is if this ends up being a slow game with neither team really wanting to take much risk, which, let's be honest, it's a Big Ten. Yeah. More often than not, it goes there. If it turns into Big Ten football, I want the points and I want the home team.
Sure.
So I don't really know who wins here is what I'm saying. It's a long roundabout diatribe. I don't know what the hell I'm picking here, but I like the points because I think Michigan State being at home, getting the points, potentially a close game. They've also shown a little bit more adaptability in their offensive game plan throughout the course of the season, which I think I like. And I'm not sure we've seen that from Michigan. So again, I'm really not very confident here, but I do think I am going to go points in Michigan State.
What's Michigan's best win at this point that you think has been the most recent telltale? Here is who Michigan is, and this is why I'm impressed by them. Wisconsin, you know, winning that one late. with the injuries. Maybe
Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin or Nebraska.
Okay, so both of these teams are Nebraska-esque, right? They both hang on to beat Nebraska late. So there's recent-ish common ground. I think Michigan's strength of performance is higher. They've separated themselves from lackluster competition in a better way, the way that they beat Washington, the way that they beat Northwestern, whereas Michigan State, you know, playing down to Indiana, you know, I think one of those scores was a pick six, by the way, as well. I think Michigan State can win this game in more ways than Michigan, which it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to, but I believe with their explosive offense, with their ability to stop those bigger plays, Michigan State, there's more of a variety to Michigan State, if that's your thing, if that's your picking kink.
Picking kink.
Yeah. This is a belief system matchup for me. Michigan State is better at stopping bigger plays. Michigan State rushes the passer better. The underlying numbers are better. Now, I know Aiden Hutchinson is absolutely an All-American caliber edge guy, and rightfully so. He's been incredible. Might be the best player on this Michigan team. The ability to stop big plays and to get after the passer, I think, goes so far in a rivalry spot at home as an underdog. Now, I understand Michigan State's offense has disappeared for long stretches in big games. I get that. They can also pop bigger plays like they haven't been able to in years past. And I think that, on the margins, is a difference for me. I don't think Michigan's luck is running out because I don't think they're a lucky team. They've performed admirably on both sides of the ball. I'm going to go with State here at home in a big game with a defense I believe in as a dog. I am sticking with my belief system. I think Michigan is a very good team. This is just an incredibly difficult spot. So I'm going with the Spartans. And by the way, Sparty Coney Island for all of your hot dog needs locally in the greater Lansing area.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. I don't know if I feel as strongly one way or the other, but I do like the points here because I feel like it's going to be a close game. Again, Michigan favored by 4.5 in some places. Again, we're recording this early on Tuesday. Let's move on. Let's stay in the Big Ten and let's talk about another nooner. This one on ESPN between Iowa and Wisconsin. We did a spoof video. You did a spoof video of this out on our YouTube channel.
Long time ago, yeah.
Which has garnered a gazillion views. Mm-hmm. What was the premise behind that?
I created a nature film between the Bajir and the Hakai tribes. I'm still Kirk Ferentz, obviously, but this is J.J. Watt era,
yeah.
Wisconsin, Brett Bielema era Wisconsin in a close physical matchup. 2010? Somewhere in there.
It feels like this is going to be close and physical again, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Now, Iowa won 28-7 last year. They broke a 4-game skid. The over-under in this game opened at 36.5, which is absurdly low for college football. That's low for the NFL, but that's absurdly low for college. So if you do the math, what that comes to, Vegas is thinking like a 20-17 game.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel high to you? At all?
No. I mean, I don't know what the weather's like. I don't know if you want to pull that up, but no, that feels about right. I think we're at the point now, especially with the data points that we have, that, yeah, overall, big picture, yeah, that's a low number, but nah, that's about right to me.
Does it look like there's any rain or wind? It looks like it's going to be 50 and, you know, relatively pleasant. So there won't be any kind of weather factor.
Football weather.
At play here, at least not at time of recording. This game is essentially that meme of the two Spider-Men pointing at each other.
Yeah.
It really is. It's two awesome defenses with bad offenses. And there are subtle differences that we could get into here. But I think the most consequential is a turnover margin. And it tells a pretty big part of the story for both of these teams. We're already familiar with what Iowa's done. They've created turnover after turnover after turnover. They've been very good at doing that this year and capitalizing on a short field. That's been their MO. On the Wisconsin side, they're tied for second worst in the country. They've shot themselves in the foot. And when you've got an offense that really can't get much going, that's why you lose some games.
Right.
And so that's where we're at with these two teams. My sense here, again, much like the first Big Ten matchup that we discussed between Michigan and Michigan State, not to do my own bit of punting, as there will be a fair amount of that in this football game.
Right.
But I think it's 3 points one way or the other. Like, I don't have a particular lean. I guess Iowa's been a little bit better. They've definitely been more efficient. If you're forcing me to pick a winner, I'll go Iowa. But if you're forcing me to pick against the spread, I'm just going to take whoever gets the points. So Iowa plus the three. They're a little bit better this year at creating their own luck. I think they win, but it's going to be close one way or the other.
They have a recent common opponent in Purdue, of course, that Iowa was not able to get over, and Wisconsin comfortably got over. I don't know how much you weigh that in the back of your mind. Obviously not a ton, because you are not giving the edge to Wisconsin at home here as a, what's the spread
the
last time you checked?
3 points.
So Wisconsin favored by three and a half, somewhere in there. I'm going to take Iowa here. And this falls under my nobody out pizzas the hut thought. I don't think anybody out Hawkeyes the Hawks, Ty.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin this year has had a tough time sticking with and winning with their chosen identity. And
nobody
I still,
out pizzas the hut. I love that.
Nobody out pizzas the hut. Nobody out Hawkeyes the Hawks. And so given recent history between these two, Graham Mertz throwing into the Iowa defense without advanced weaponry, I like Iowa here. I really do. Wisconsin hasn't done a lot to convince me that their early season results aren't who they are, right? I mean, I like the bounce back against Army and Purdue, but it's not enough. I've seen them against good teams and they just don't have it. So I'm taking Iowa here.
Why is Wisconsin favored?
I mean, they're playing at home. They've played relatively decent football recently, and we've seen Iowa at times struggle this year to separate themselves.
I don't know. I would have a hard time figuring.
Maybe they're just baiting you, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I really struggled with this one as well. I feel like they're the same team. Like I said, I just feel like Iowa is a little less mistake prone and a little better at creating their own luck.
So look, I picked against Iowa and they kept winning, and now I'm picking Iowa. I'm sorry, Hawks. If I have any bearing karmically, it's my fault.
Let's jump over to the 3:30 block on CBS. It's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Dan.
Yeah.
This is a great rivalry. What do we do in great rivalries, just out of curiosity?
Throw those records out, Tyler. You got to throw them out.
Throw them out the window. We got Georgia, the number one team in the country. They're a 14-point favorite, squaring off in Jacksonville against the Florida Gators. Now, Florida won this game a year ago, 44-28. They broke a three-game losing streak. Georgia was banged up going into it. Need to mention that.
Yep.
But they were still a three-point favorite, and they got beat pretty soundly in that matchup. In particular, Kyle Trask kept throwing wheel passes, wheel routes, and it kept being open in the early part of that game, at least. And I think Stetson Bennett, he did something to his shoulder in that game. Then he was out, and then he came back, and he wasn't all that good. So just commit that to memory for whatever it's worth. It was not a good showing by Georgia a year ago, which means potentially, a little bit of a revenge game here.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
So, Daniel.
Yeah.
My question for you is this. Can Florida do that again?
Can they? Sure. I think this is a terrific Iron Chef chopped matchup, right? Dan Mullen is able to wriggle everything and wring everything he can out of the situation he's placed into. As we saw against Alabama, that performance looks better and better given Florida's own offensive limitations and defensive limitations and where Alabama has been since. Now, that game was in Gainesville, and they also fell behind real big early on in that game, and it was an impressive way to claw back in. So there's not a ton of positive to take that you can take from that game to this game. Georgia's defense is right now on a historic pace. They're allowing 0.37 points per drive. I know there's no real reference point for points per drive, but that's right now ahead of where the 2011 Bama defense was over the course of that national championship season. So I like Georgia. There is more to like at this point. I know Dan Mullen has this team ready usually for the team's biggest games. Didn't in Baton Rouge. Definitely didn't in Baton Rouge. I'm worried about Emory Jones. I'm worried about the turnovers on offense, especially. I mean, that game had, what, 4 picks?
Yeah.
That was LSU's defense. That was LSU's defense. Unbeknownst to some of us, that was a lame duck team that won in all phases in that game. So I'm going with Georgia here. I'm going with the stronger team who has performed. Now, it's not a hugely explosive offense, but they've got, you know, Brock Bowers has been everywhere for this team. It's especially impressive given how young he is. A backup quarterback, same quarterback who played against Florida last year. But I think Georgia's defense is too excellent at this point. There are guys, there are dudes on Florida's offense. I just think you're either counting on somebody who is uneven most of the time in Emory Jones, or still a little raw and green and has been beat up this year in Anthony Richardson. And I think you need to be hitting on everything right to beat this Georgia team. And so, I mean, what's the last number you saw 14 in this one? Yeah, I just, especially given the recruiting implications between these two programs, I don't think Kirby, if Georgia is clearly ahead, is going to let his foot off the gas. So, yeah, I have Georgia winning this game by 18 to 21 points.
I'm tempted to take Florida outright.
Okay. Now, what are you worried about Georgia's resume, that they've performed admirably against teams they should perform against, but we don't have a sample, we don't have a data point against a top-tier squad? Where are you with that?
I am not worried from that standpoint.
Okay.
I'm not really worried much about Georgia. What worries me is that Florida has that crazy guy in the fight vibe to them.
Okay.
But I thought a lot about Gary Sheffield, former Yankee, former everybody, played for everybody.
Yep.
Gary Sheffield was the kind of guy that if there was a bench clearing brawl, you wanted him on your side. You also didn't know what he was going to do.
Right.
And I feel that way a little bit about Florida. Now, it's a different team than it was a year ago. The personnel has turned over, you know, almost in total on offense. And frankly, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. My guess is we're going to see both.
Right.
But we've seen a couple teams now with decent offenses in the SEC get a few bites at the apple against the Georgia defense, and no one's really gotten anywhere, right?
We had
Arkansas getting shut out. We had Auburn. Auburn had them at home. They only managed 10 points. Kentucky got to 13. 13's been the high water mark.
Yep.
I feel like Florida's got enough firepower to get over that 13 hump. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
I don't think that's a stretch. And I think Dan Mullen has that same quality to him, to this team. He's imprinted it on the culture of this Florida team. In the same way that your Oregon Ducks kind of play up for big games, I feel like Dan Mullen's got a little bit of that going on in Gainesville.
It happened
against Alabama. It happened last year in this game.
Happened in the second half of the Tennessee game. They really showed up. Yep.
So I think they're going to show up, and I don't expect they're going to get blown out. And I do think they'll find a way to keep this one relatively tight in a rivalry game. To say that Florida wins outright is a huge stretch. That's why I'm only tempted. I'm actually
not going to do it. Where are they actually scoring the points to threaten a win? Through the air? On the ground? Just fully balanced? Where, like, because you have to have some sort of intuition with where they're coming from, because I don't know how many points you think Florida needs to score to beat Georgia, but it's probably like 24, something like that, right?
Right. No, I think the versatility at quarterback is something that I'm very interested in. Now, I know some of these other teams that I've discussed also have that. All right, Florida is not the only one, but I trust Dan Mullen as an offensive play caller to find some of that nuance that they can use to their advantage. Nobody thought they'd be in the neighborhood of Alabama either. And that was a pretty close game. And they looked good in this game a year ago. I just feel like he's a big game hunter.
Okay.
I feel like he's a big game hunter. He gets Florida ready. I'm taking them plus the points. I also think that the LSU game was a bit of an emotional dagger. And it's certainly not a great sign that they were eaten alive by Ty Davis Price in the manner that they were, not going up against Georgia, which has shown great aplomb at running the football, right?
Aplomb, yep.
But I don't know. I have a lot of faith in Dan Mullen here plus the points. So I'm going Florida plus 14.
All right. I just don't believe Kyle Pitts or Kadarius Toney is walking through that door for Florida.
They most certainly are not.
Nor Kyle Trask. Yeah, I think it's a worse Florida team. So we disagree.
Somebody's got to test Georgia this year. And if it's not Alabama at the end of the year in the SEC championship, the only other team, well, I guess Tennessee could as well, but I think the most obvious is Florida. And I think they will be up for this game, especially on the heels of what happened in that LSU debacle.
This is Georgia's likeliest loss until the SEC championship game. I think we're on the same page with that. But yep. Yeah, it's hard for me as I have my detective brush and I'm clearing the room and trying to find prints. I'm not seeing it. It's hard for me to find how it actually operates. A Florida keeping it close, putting themselves in position to win like they did against Alabama. But perhaps I'm wrong.
7 p.m. on ESPN. We've got Ole Miss on the road at Auburn. Yeah. Auburn's won the last five. They won 35-28 last year. Ole Miss was favored initially, but the point spread shifted. And now it is Auburn -2.5, -3, depending where you look. It's been a hell of a run here for Ole Miss. Let's give them credit. Yeah. In October, they were at Bama, home against Arkansas. They were at Tennessee, home against LSU. And now they're at Auburn. The fact that they're 3-1 through the month of October is damn impressive. And it's probably part of the reason why Lane Kiffin's got a little bit of steam on him, potentially as the next coach at LSU.
Sure.
We'll see where that goes. Don't know if I fully buy that, but Lane's done a really good job with this Ole Miss team. They are led by Matt Corral. They are up to number 10 in the country. Do you buy Ole Miss as the 10th best team in the country?
Not fully.
Why?
I'm worried about the defense week over week, over the course of the season. They are pretty good. Ole Miss is pretty good in getting after the quarterback, but they just, I don't know. They've been decent preventing big plays, but against the, I think a team can slow the game down against them and keep the offense off the field. And I actually think Auburn is the team to do it. I think they are specifically built with those two running backs, with Bo Nix and I'm a believer in his evolution this year. I think even though the receiving core isn't amazing for Auburn, I think there's going to be play action opportunities to be had. And I just think this run of teams for Ole Miss, right? So it's Ole Miss having Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, LSU consecutively ahead of this Auburn game on the road. I think it's sort of a something's got to give situation where right. Matt Corral's beat up. And look, he showed a lot of heart last week in gutting Ole Miss to that win. I'm not there with Ole Miss's ability on the road yet with that defense especially. I think this is going to be a fun game, but I think Auburn situationally is in a good place. And I think there's a reason when this game was at Ole Miss -1, I loved Auburn, right? At home with an improved quarterback, with a defense who has been pretty good at getting after the passer. I still like Auburn here. I still think situationally it's the play.
I'm on Auburn here as well. I think there's a question about what's in the tank for Ole Miss.
Sure.
I've asked that a few times now through the month of October, but
yeah.
they've held up pretty well. I'm going to try the same logic I did last week when Ole Miss played LSU. Auburn should be able to run. LSU didn't a week ago, right. But Auburn should be able to. They should be able to. And I agree with you. If we get good Bo Nix, if the Bovolution is a thing,
don't do that.
It poses a real problem for this Ole Miss defense, which isn't really much of a defense. I think you're right to question whether number 10 is the right ranking. Now, look, everybody's got flaws this year. So the rankings outside of maybe the top five, as in most years, are kind of meaningless. But in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man's king. So we'll give them their due.
Sure.
10 is fine. I don't want to give the impression that I'm looking to bet against Ole Miss because I'm not. They're a really good football team, but I do feel like I like and trust Auburn a little bit more at this juncture. So I think I'm with you. I loved it when they were getting points at home.
Yep.
The fact that it's still less than a field goal in most places for people playing run the board. I think we threw this game on there.
Yep.
I really like Auburn in that spot. I really like Auburn in that spot.
We agree.
We do agree. The other thing I want to mention, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, because who knows if it could end up being another story kind of in the same vein. We don't need to color it any one way or the other, but Auburn mandated a vaccine. Brian Harsin's been quiet. He's been a little bit reluctant to say where he stands on that, both personally and I guess more broadly from the perspective of, his team and coaches and whatnot. So whether or not that becomes a story remains to be seen, but just something to put on your radar.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a complicated story now because the governor of Alabama has decided that she is advising and the state is advising places to ignore vaccine mandates. I don't honestly know what his options or his situation is right now, but yeah, you're right. It's worth paying attention to, but somehow I imagine that's sort of going to go away.
Yep. 31-28 is my final score. I've got Auburn. I think it's a fun game as well.
Yeah, I have something like 31-24, 30-24. I think it's going to be a good one.
7 p.m. ESPN2. Here's one that we got to talk about. Let's talk about SMU and Houston.
Let's.
These teams last met in 2019. SMU won a fun one, 34-31. I totally get why this is a pick 'em. Mm-hmm. I have absolutely zero lean one way or the other.
I do.
SMU's got the better offense, Houston the better defense. I think I'm going to stick with SMU, if only from, like, I don't know, a fan's perspective. I want to see SMU undefeated when they play Cincinnati, second to last week of the year.
Right.
They've been playing well. I do trust in Tanner Mordecai. He's been having a great season. It pains me a little bit because I was very high on Houston before the start of the year, and I felt like this was the year that Dana Holgorsen could start to put it together, and we've seen that bear a little bit of fruit. But I'm kind of hung up on SMU here, so let's go Mustangs.
Yeah, I'm going Houston. I fully disagree. I'm going to go with a good defense at home, and SMU's defense has been disappointing, especially on the road. SMU is a terrific story. I think Houston, with a pretty good offense, but a strong defense, a strong pass rush, a strong ability to prevent big plays, I think the matchup works pretty well for the Cougars specifically, but well for me as well. So yeah, I'm going Houston here. I'm just a bigger believer in, I mean, Houston at home, I guess. I mean, the offense isn't amazing. Let's be clear. Like, Houston's offense, it's very strange that a Dana Holgorsen team has struggled to pop.
Yeah, it's weird that we're talking about a Holgo defense.
Yeah.
In place of a Holgo offense.
Correct. But they get after the quarterback. They tackle soundly. I just, those are the qualities that I look for when I go back and forth. I just saw on some advanced site that the tackle success rate is 12th in the nation. That's what I care about. I care about keeping the score low enough to give your offense a chance. So I'm going Houston here at home.
7:30 ABC. This is the biggin.
Maybe.
Penn State at Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 19 points.
It's a lot.
Boy. Okay. All right. Ohio State on a 4-game winning streak here. They won 38-25 last season. 19 is a very big number. It makes a lot of sense to me. If anything, I still do wonder if it's a little too low.
Wait, you wonder if 19 is too low?
I do.
If you're wondering if 19 is too low between two ranked teams, what's Penn State's current ranking?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Then you are a believer, as I alluded to earlier on in the show, that Penn State has serious collapse potential.
I believe there is serious collapse potential here.
I mean, they did just lose in 9 overtimes to Illinois, scoring 10 points in regulation and allowing damn near 400 yards on the ground to the Illini. I hear you, but damn. Okay, continue.
No, you go first. I do believe there is significant collapse potential here.
Okay, so I have Penn State highlighted as a team to cover in this game. And then I got rid of it. And then I put it again, and then I got rid of it. It's a big number. When you're circling around 3 touchdowns, so Penn State, here's where they are right now. They have a beat-up quarterback in Sean Clifford, who has not been able to do much since early on in that Iowa game physically. He's practiced some, and obviously he played in that Illinois game, but was not a game-changer by any stretch in that game.
Right.
Even earlier on in the season, he had long droughts. He's clearly the best option Penn State has at quarterback. They have good receiving options. Penn State doesn't run the ball. Penn State is down. Is PJ Mustafa their best defensive lineman?
He was their most reliable, for sure.
Their most reliable. He was in the conversation. And so all we know about Ohio State in terms of vulnerability was, well, when Kerry Coombs is calling the defense, they weren't able to adjust, especially against the run. Penn State is not beating anybody on the ground this year. I like their running backs. I think their offensive line has been okay protecting Sean Clifford. We just haven't seen this Penn State offensive line put it all together in a game this year. So I'm leaning Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State's a perfect team. I still think they're vulnerable on defense. I just don't think Penn State is the team to do it. Now, we're talking about a healthy Sean Clifford. We're talking about a replacement-level rushing attack. I would take the points here. Maybe that at that moment, it's a 14-point. I don't know, whatever. I'm going to give the points. I'm going to give the Ohio State points. The weather, it's supposed to be a little bit wet, a little bit damp, a little bit moist. I apologize, but I don't. The issue to me is Penn State is so good in their secondary at preventing those big plays. Now, who have they played that's capable? I don't know.
Right.
This is tough, man.
It's not tough.
You are closer to the situation.
It's not tough. Listen.
I do like betting against collapse potential. I'm going to go Ohio State, I'm going to say 38-14.
I think you've got the right points. I think you're hung up on the number. Don't be hung up on the number.
Okay.
Sean Clifford is hurt.
Yeah.
He's hurt. It was apparent last week he's not sandbagging. Okay? He's hurt, and he is their best option when he's hurt.
Right.
He'll be juiced up for this game. The kid plays with a ton of heart. He's a fighter out there. He's gonna do his best, but I think he's hurt. And Ohio State knows he's hurt because they watched the tape the same way you and I watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good for Penn State's offense. The second point, you brought it up as well. Penn State can't run the ball.
Yeah.
There's no complimentary run game for Penn State. There hasn't been all year. And it's not like they're just going to find it outside Ohio Stadium and like, oh, maybe we'll try.
There it is.
They don't have it. They have not been able to put it together. I don't understand how or why, because they've got a ton of potential at the running back spot. But they just haven't done it. And so you can't count on it. And finally, last but certainly not least, Ohio State's looked like one of the best teams in the country the last couple weeks. Granted, maybe not against the best competition. Sure.
Right.
But since CJ Stroud rested his shoulder or whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
they have looked really solid across the board. Since they went over Kerry Coombs' head and stopped letting him call plays on defense, they've looked really good. So we've got two teams that I feel like are trending in opposite directions. Ohio State trending up. Penn State, if only by virtue of that Illinois loss, is trending down. That was a dagger. That was an absolute dagger 1 week before Ohio State.
Yeah.
Thoroughly demoralizing. And so I think on top of that, there are these rumors, these swirling rumors about James Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where there's smoke, there's fire. He just changed his agent. That was news. I think that's out there now that he went to.
Yep, it is.
Jimmy Sexton, the power broker. There are some openings out there that I think could be of interest to Franklin. There have been rumors forever that he's not happy for one reason or another. None of these guys are ever happy, really.
Agree.
I'm starting to believe it.
You want to be happy for a day, Ty? Eat a steak.
So I'm just thinking we've got some headwind blowing from the standpoint of the quarterback spot. We may have James Franklin with a bit of a wandering eye. Now, if he loses by 21, that doesn't help his stock.
No.
But he's not out there on the field. I just feel like there is a lot of headwind right now for Penn State. And with Ohio State trending so favorably over the last couple weeks, there is potential here for a blowout. Just a thorough bombing of Penn State. And so I'm laying the points. I'm laying the points, and I think there is potential here that if Penn State goes out there, if they lose this game by 21 points, I think things could really get sideways.
So the one thing I wonder about, though, because it is a big number, is don't you feel that Penn State's defense, even last week, like they allowed a ton on the ground, of course, but they allowed 10 points in regulation. That's a, you should win a game, your offense should give you enough if fully healthy and whatever. This is still a really good Penn State defense. It's still going to be
It's
tough
a great Penn State defense.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough to score enough points. I understand the offense will get off the field quickly or far too quickly if Sean Clifford is just as beat up, whatever. It's going to take some time. I understand all the potential for collapse. I understand all of that. Penn State's offense also hasn't... Have they scored 30 points against
They scored
FBS
10 in regulation against Illinois.
Big Ten team? Right. So... I definitely worry about that, but this is also like probably by far the most challenging defense Ohio State will face this year. I still think they're going to play.
I get it. I think there's more at play here.
Okay.
And I feel like there is a circling the drain quality to this Penn State season. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
But 19's a big number, and I feel like Vegas knows what it's doing. That's a big freaking number, and it might not be big enough. So I was inclined to lock up Ohio State here.
Man, I don't know.
It's a big number, but I'm all in on the Buckeyes here. I hope I'm wrong. I hope for a close game. I would love nothing more as a Penn State alum to see Penn State go out there and compete and play with heart and keep this one close, but I just don't see it. I don't see any way possible.
Do you see more success through the air or on the ground for Ohio State?
Probably through the air.
Okay. They're not going to take that Illinois blueprint. Illinois, by the way, not a great rushing team, to be clear. A very average rushing team this season that put it all together last week in Happy Valley against Penn State.
Penn State as a passing defense has been very sound far this year. They've been really good. They're like a top five, top 10 passing defense. So they're very, very good.
But it's Graham Mertz. Bo Nix, they did a good job against. You know, the Jack Tuttle, Michael Penix experiment, I believe. Spencer Petras and Art Sitkowski. Like, I don't know what you can glean from their record other than playing well against Bo Nix. So, yeah. It's tough.
I'm going Ohio State big.
Collapse potential.
It's there. It is absolutely there.
Okay.
You just have to trust me. It is there.
Yeah.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
12 o'clock ABC, Texas at Baylor. Baylor favored by a field goal at home.
Yeah.
I might be more interested in this one than Michigan State.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I like Baylor here for whatever it's worth. I like where they're at on defense a little bit more. And Texas has been kind of a nightmare, one of the worst tackling teams in the country. They don't get after the quarterback. And all you really have to do to beat Texas is play the final three quarters.
Yeah,
you have to weather that first quarter, one of the absolute most explosive teams early. They game plan really, really well. But I think Baylor's balanced, and I think, I don't know if you play fantasy, but I think Abram Smith should have a nice day. I don't think he's hurt, so yeah.
The numbers would tell two very interesting stories of these teams. Baylor is just kind of rock solid across the board.
Yep.
They're not spectacular anywhere, but they're rock solid. On the Texas side, you can see the highs and lows. They're very uneven, very inconsistent. And so you've got a lot of boomer bust potential, even within the same quarter with this Texas team. We've seen it.
Yeah.
We saw it a couple times already this year. So I like taking the better, more reliable team at home. I got Baylor minus the three, but I could definitely see a situation in which Texas goes out there, they score a bunch of points early, and Baylor can't catch up. That would be the only way I could see Texas winning.
I suppose. Yeah. I'm locking in on my mid and late season belief system of big play defense and pass rush. And I think Baylor's just so much better than Texas right now.
12 o'clock, ACC Network, the Miami Hurricanes on the road at Pitt. Pitt favored by around 11.
Yeah.
Jumped around a little bit. What are the odds of a double letdown game here? What are the odds? Pitt coming off the Clemson win is a little flat, and Miami coming off the NC State upset is also flat on the road.
Yeah, Pitt, one of the best teams against the spread this year. They're something like 6-1 against FBS teams. I don't know the exact number. And not only are they great against the spread record-wise, but they're great against the spread in terms of their average points with which they cover. So Pitt is emphatic in their coverage this year. So, I mean, let's ignore that Western Michigan game, by all means. The thing that I like about Miami is, and they haven't played away from home. I think they played one true road game. They played the game against Alabama in, was it Atlanta, the neutral site game?
Yep.
But the thing I like about Miami is as things have gone sideways, that's a term you enjoy, you know, with quarterback injuries, with guys leaving, whatever, they've played hard.
They've
lost close games. The collapse potential isn't nearly as pronounced for me with Miami, right? They rallied around Tyler Van Dyke. Jalen Knighton has come to play. Charleston Rambo had a really nice game last week against NC State. So there's still a belief there that they're battling. They're playing younger guys on defense. I like Miami to cover this game, if not win this game outright.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're really, really buying into the legend of TVD.
They're too mistake prone. I don't know what the money line is here. I wouldn't bet on them to win outright, but I just think it's going to be a very tight game.
Wow.
I do think it's going to be tight. In a letdown spot. In a letdown spot. Look, this is the week that we've seen the most, ooh, what could Pitt be? Ooh, is Kenny Pickett a Heisman contender? Whatever. I'm not saying they're reading their own clippings or whatever and then sort of getting too full of themselves. I'm just saying there are certain things that are going to come back down to earth. And so I think Pitt wins this game, but I think they win this game by a touch. I think it's like a 28-21 game. That's just too big a number for me. But I'm a believer in Miami's ability to compete in this one.
I see it at 9.5 now, so it's come down.
Okay, it's come down.
Even in advance of you putting this podcast out there and influencing the public betting.
Of course.
The lines come down a little bit. Money line is plus 280. So if you put $10 down, you'd win 28 if Miami won outright.
Right. I don't know. I mean, here, you want a number here? I don't know if this will change your mind one way or the other. So as a home favorite, Pat Narduzzi since 2018 is a complete toss-up. Now, this team is better than the previous three teams. He's 7-7 as a home favorite. I don't know if that's a Heinz Field thing, that it's an NFL stadium and it's, you know, it doesn't provide the electricity and the energy of some of all of the stadiums that aren't NFL stadiums that teams play in at home. But there's something about Pitt coming back down to earth and merely winning this game in regular fashion than an outlandish one that I'm a believer in.
I agree. I would like it a little bit more if it got to 10, but I do think Miami keeps it close. And I do think they believe in Tyler Van Dyke.
Okay.
If you read some of the post-game comments, his teammates are very excited that he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
They feel like they have something with him. So I'll take points. I think Pitt wins. I think Pitt continues to win. But that's a lot of points, especially with some letdown potential here.
Miami in that window, which obviously spans a couple different coaches because Manny Diaz has only been there since 2019, 4-2 as road dogs. Okay. Some of the same players. Yeah.
Well, another road dog, this one at 2 o'clock ESPN Plus, if you have that. We've got Iowa State -7 on the road at West Virginia. You know how I feel about Iowa State? I think they win the game. I don't know how I feel about them covering on the road, though. That's a little bit of a danger zone to me. So I guess I'd be inclined to go points. Maybe. I don't trust West Virginia, though they did look better last week.
Yeah, Iowa State, an emotional last-minute win against Oklahoma State, now going on the road. West Virginia, a tricky team, but hasn't shown much in the way of offense this year. Nice win over TCU, though. I'm gonna give those points, Ty.
Yeah.
I'm giving the points with Iowa State. I'm a believer, and West Virginia's defense, while good, has still given up a little bit too much for me to feel amazing about them. Especially through the air. I think Brock Purdy had a nice breakthrough performance against Oklahoma State. So I think West Virginia just allows too much through the air this coming week against the Clones. And also Iowa State has blown them out recently.
It's true.
Yeah.
3:30 ABC, we've got Texas Tech on the road at Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 20.
Texas Tech doesn't have a coach. Yeah.
Matt Wells is out. He got fired from Texas Tech 8 games into the season. Sonny Cumbie, the offensive coordinator, is going to be taking over here on an interim basis.
Right.
I don't hate betting against Oklahoma every game from here on out.
Same.
just to make sure that I'm on the one game where they lay a stinker.
Mm-hmm.
Because with a freshman quarterback, I believe it will happen. It will happen. Caleb Williams has been the real deal.
Well, maybe that was last week, though.
It could have been last week, right? I could be wrong every week from here on out.
Yep.
I don't hate that scenario. Betting against Oklahoma, expecting that at some point it's going to happen, just to say that I had it. I don't think this is the game. I don't think this is the game. Not with Matt Wells being canned in advance. You know, Texas Tech can score points, but Texas Tech has also pulled an incredible disappearing act in spots throughout the course of this season.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we can trust them for much of anything, especially now given some turnover with their head football coach. So I'm going to lay the points here, even though I don't feel terribly confident in that.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take those points. I just haven't seen any real reason from Oklahoma to believe it as a 20-plus. Is that right around 20 points 20, right now?
20 points, yeah.
They just haven't been covering that. They've been playing too inconsistent. The penalties have added up. The pass defense is atrocious. I know Texas Tech is on their backup quarterback, but he's played a ton, Henry Columbia. I always nail his name incorrectly. Oklahoma's not a team that covers big spreads right now. That's just all it is.
3:30 ESPN2, Purdue at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Nebraska favored by 7.5 points here.
Yeah.
Feels like a little bit too much.
I like Nebraska big.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
Why do you like them?
I've told you, I'm leaning in. This is my Sheryl Sandberg Saturday. I'm enthusiastic about some teams this year, and Nebraska is one of those teams that I'm just going to keep banking on a breakthrough. And I think we might have an overinflated sense of Purdue based on the Iowa win and little else. I mean, the Oregon State one's nice too. That was week one. I think Nebraska has a nice win this week. They win by a couple touchdowns against Purdue. A lackluster performance from the Boilers last week against Wisconsin. Yeah, going on the road, Nebraska. Yeah, I'm going to stick with my beliefs.
A Scotty too hottie Saturday for Dan Rubenstein.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go points. I think Nebraska's better.
Yeah.
But I'll go points. I think Purdue can have some success through the air here. And I think with their defensive front and defense as a whole being as solid as it is, that usually travels. It has traveled pretty well so far this season. So I'll go Purdue plus the points. Let's stick in that 3:30 window. Florida State at Clemson, Dan.
Yeah.
I feel like for the first time in forever, this is actually kind of an interesting game. Florida State's lost the last five meetings. They were absolutely embarrassed by Clemson the last 2 years. Is this the year? Has Florida State leveled off to the point now? Has Clemson dipped to the point now?
Right.
Where you look at this game, you see Clemson favored by 10. And you're like, nah, I got to go points. I got to go points in Florida State.
Florida State lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
I was very nervous introing that game. Very nervous introing that game for fear that you would laugh me off the stage here. But somebody's going to win this game 21-17.
Sure.
It might be Florida State. It might be Clemson. But
20 is plenty.
Clemson favored by 10. Feels like a real danger zone right now that I don't want to tiptoe into.
I wouldn't trust Clemson against any ACC team with a heartbeat giving more than 3.5 points. What evidence is there?
What still true play evidence defense. Is there? They do have a defense.
Doesn't matter. You said this is interesting. I don't think there's anything interesting about a game involving Clemson's 2021 offense.
Whoa. So.
Jordan Travis has been making plays. The defense has improved. All you have to do is have a heartbeat to cover against Clemson. Even if Clemson wins this game 20-18 or whatever. No.
The Clemson is not offered cover you. Cover of the week from Dan Rubenstein.
They haven't. What have they done to earn this spread this year?
They've been really good over the last 5 years. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. And they've got a defense. That's it.
Doesn't mean much to me.
All right. Wow. I think somebody wins 21-17, but I'm with you. In no way would I want to lay 10 points here. Are you kidding me?
Clemson benched their starting quarterback against Pitt last week.
Yeah.
And they're winning this game by 2 touchdowns or something? No. Stop.
Maybe it's what he needed. Get back on track.
Yes. Cool.
All right. 7 o'clock, SEC Network, Kentucky minus a point and a half at Mississippi State. Kentucky won 24-2 last year, Dan.
They did.
Game was in Lexington. I went back and looked. I think I've gotten every Mississippi State game wrong this year. Everyone that we've picked. I am pretty sure I've gotten every...
So where are you leaning? So just so I know what
happens. I'm going to ask you first is what I'm going to do.
I'm taking Kentucky here. I think Kentucky's a little bit more reliable, and Mississippi State, I just don't think there are a number of ways for them to win, and Kentucky's coming off a bye week, and I know they haven't been incredible against the spread these past few years under Mark Stoops coming off of that bye week, but I'm still going with Kentucky. I'm a believer in this offense. I'm a believer in the complete absences that Mississippi State's offense goes through. They just will not show up for a quarter and a half at times. So no, I'm going with Kentucky here. I think they're just more reliable. I know, what is it? Pick 'em. It's somewhere in there, real low. Yeah, I'm going Kentucky on the road.
Yeah, it's jumped around a little bit. I think right now it's Kentucky minus a point and a half. I have seen projections that have Mississippi State favored by 5, which I do not buy,
right,
at all. So I think I'm with you. I'm going to go Kentucky.
Also, Kentucky hits, and now Kentucky hasn't been the same on the road. But if I'm talking about my back half of the season, I trust big play defense and pass rush. You trust Kentucky here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to my lock of the week.
Please.
Lock of the week.
7:30 NBC. We've got North Carolina on the road at Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 3.5. Kyle Hamilton has been ruled out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because of the knee injury. That's a significant blow to this Irish defense. It's gotten most of the headlines, rightfully so. I don't get this line one iota, even with him out.
Well, what's dependable about either one of these teams?
Well,
this year's version of these squads.
It could be because I have not paid attention to North Carolina.
Okay.
So maybe this is a foolhardy lock of the week when I'm going with Notre Dame. However, the UNC offensive game plan, as I've come to understand it, is number one, whatever Sam Howell can do, run or throw. And then number two, Ty Chandler, Josh Downs, whatever they can do.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. But it's mostly Sam Howell, whatever he can do. That's pretty much the game plan as I see it. And they're going to score in this game. Like, I think they're going to get to probably 30 points. But I also think this is a neck crack game for Marcus Freeman. We know he likes to bring pressure. We also know from looking at numbers, from watching all of UNC's games this year, that they're just not good up front. They're not good at protecting.
They don't tackle well on defense. They don't protect Sam Howell. Yeah.
They don't protect Sam Howell in particular. Ty Chandler's been okay, but they don't protect Sam Howell. So I think you're going to see a ton of pressure from that Notre Dame front seven because North Carolina is so bad at protecting him. I also think this is going to be a really good game to get Tyler Buckner involved. Because, among other things, UNC is not good at stopping the run, and they're not good in the front seven either.
Also, but Notre Dame, not a good running team at all.
They're getting better.
Okay.
They are getting better.
As long as they play lame duck coaching situations, Notre Dame has broken through impressively, yeah.
I think Notre Dame in this one, between the defense and how I know the coordinator wants to bring pressure, even despite the fact that Hamilton's going to be out, I think they'll be okay. Combined with the fact that they are getting better up front, and this is another opportunity for them to take a step forward as they did a week ago against USC. It might be back and forth for a while, but ultimately Notre Dame's just going to kill UNC in the trenches. And that's a weird thing to say given where Notre Dame's been at, but
right.
I really feel pretty confident here. That's why I'm locking it up. 42-31. A lot of points, back and forth for a while, but Notre Dame separates and wins this one going away.
North Carolina coming off of a bye. Something. Correct. They have not been great on the road. The loss to Georgia Tech, where they gave up, I don't know, damn near 50 points to Georgia Tech. That's difficult to do. That's an unusual way to lose to Georgia Tech lately. Losing to Virginia Tech the way that they did early on. Now it's week one, whatever. And it wasn't even just week one. It was midweek. They lose by double digits to Florida State, who I think is improved. And I just talked about how I like them. They beat Miami in a shootout. Like, they're just, the variance is all over the place. Notre Dame is more dependable. They're at home.
They're all over the map. This is a bad point spread. It's a bad point spread. I don't know where it's coming from.
I can see North Carolina winning this game.
I can't.
Because they can reach a number that Notre Dame just can't reach. Like, Notre Dame has not played against, like, who's the best offense Notre Dame has played against this year?
Probably Cincinnati.
Okay, and Cincinnati's offense didn't do a ton. They had the short fields off of the interceptions, but in terms of driving down the field consistently and taking advantage, like, Wisconsin's offense, no. Purdue's offense, no. Florida State's offense was good, but that involved, what, an 18-point, you know, comeback, something like that, late in that game. So Notre Dame performed pretty well against them. USC's offense has been a mess. They have a great receiver, but North Carolina at least offers the potential of scoring 35 points and forcing Notre Dame to score 38. And that is where it becomes a little bit dicey to me. That you know what North Carolina's offensive ceiling is with, at least talent-wise, one of the best five or six quarterbacks in the country.
I don't buy any of that.
I hear you.
But you know, in
100 simulations, you know that there is a 38-35 game here.
Sure.
11 times.
No, yes, I understand what you're saying. I don't see it happening.
Okay.
I don't see it happening here. I think the point spread's wrong. I think Notre Dame wins this one, as I said. Back and forth, they score points. They capitalize on turnovers and mistakes. And some of what I think will be dominance in the trenches, believe it or not, to win 42-31. But they're my lock of the week. I feel it.
I love that you are... every week, picking against Notre Dame, not seeing it with Notre Dame, too many points. And now North Carolina and Mac Brown have just brought something out of you.
No, not this week.
Okay.
Not this week.
I love it. I love the confidence.
Couple more games here. 10 p.m. You staying up for this one?
Depends where we're going.
UCLA, Utah?
No, I'm not.
We've got Utah favored by 6.5 points. They've won the last four. They won 49-3. Last year. I like the Utes again, but they've been giving up some points this year.
Man, their special teams is atrocious.
Special teams is bad. The run defense is not where it's usually at.
No.
And so while I don't fully trust UCLA to go on the road to Utah and win this one, because I think Utah is better right now, I think it's close. 6.5 points is the spread. I'm not laying 6.5 points here. So I got Utah, but I got UCLA with the points.
Oh, I think Utah wins this game by 10 to 13 points. I think UCLA has been a different team on the road. I think it was a nice comeback, or not comeback, what, you know, way to push things late against Stanford. But no, I don't trust UCLA here. I think the Washington win, I don't think was as impressive as it could have been. And going, I mean, this is an elevation station, right?
It is an elevation station.
Going up to SLC? DTR leaves the Oregon game late, so it's Ethan Garbers throwing balls on that final drive. No, I don't think UCLA has it here. So I'm going Utah with a nice bounce back after losing to, I believe, what, Oregon State last week?
Yep.
I think Utah bounces back nicely.
10:15 ESPN2, we've got Virginia on the road at BYU. BYU favored by 2.5. It's the Bronco Mendenhall Bowl.
This one I thought about for a long time.
I think the wrong team is favored here.
It's an easy case.
I'm going UVA. I think UVA is the better team. I trust them more. BYU's defense secretly not that great.
You ever watch Virginia try to play defense?
No. Also not very good.
So, I mean, we have two bad defenses. Two, at times, very impressive quarterbacks, more so, I think, with Brennan Armstrong in the passing game in Charlottesville. Now, they're on the road, another game going to elevation. I mean, it's a weird travel situation as well, right? Virginia traveling that far west. I think I'm going BYU here. I have seen the depths to which... Now, BYU does not play good defense. I am with you. But BYU, at home... with, I think, an offense that, especially if the ground game is going, I think they're good enough to win this game. And I just, week to week, I don't love rolling with one guy does it all teams.
Yeah.
I don't love it. And Brennan Armstrong, I hear you, is borderline special. Keaton Thompson, borderline special. I'm totally with you on all of those things. But it's a variant situation at altitude. I don't know. I'm going BYU here. I'm going with the home team.
I think the better bet for fan purposes would be whether or not Brennan Armstrong gets to 400 yards passing.
True.
Because that's just where we're at. That's a much more fun thing to pay attention to. And he could. For what it's worth, he could. This is a defense in BYU that's been very bad against a pass.
By the way, just in terms of my belief system, BYU does a better job in preventing big plays. Virginia has been a terrible big play defense this year. Just something to keep in mind.
Final game on my list. I've got 10:30 CBS Sports Network. Fresno State at San Diego State. San Diego State favored by one. Don't know if you've got any kind of Jake Haner explainer planned for this little capsule as we go through the game, but
yeah,
I'm going to go Fresno. I got to go Fresno.
I'm going San Diego State here. I think it's late at night. It's a home team that plays great defense. Now, I understand the home situation with San Diego State. It's a little bit unorthodox, but I'm still going San Diego State here. The best thing in this game is their ability to defend, their ability to tackle, their ability to limit possessions. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with the Aztecs here. Fresno State's a good team, but San Diego State plays defense better than most teams do anything in the country.
We disagree. We disagreed a lot.
We did. We did. Should also mention, ASU Wazoo is always weird, it's always entertaining, and it's happening on Saturday. So there's that game. Boston College Syracuse. More of a, I think, a referendum on Syracuse's improvement. That game is in the Carrier Dome, I believe. Maybe you can verify that. I don't know. Minnesota Northwestern, right down the street from me. Another situation. I don't know. I mean, these are all matchups that have bowl eligibility implications. So if a fan of one of those teams, same goes for TCU Kansas State in a purple matchup that has bowl eligibility ramifications. UTEP can get to 7-1 tie, and that's ahead of the UTSA game next week, which I just saw was picked up by, I believe, ESPN2.
We are definitely going to make that one of our headliners to talk about.
Of course,
next week. We have to.
They can get to, I think, is UTEP playing Rice? Is that what I saw? I didn't mark down their opponent.
FAU. FAU.
Okay. That's tough. That's a tough matchup. It's in Boca, I believe. So, yeah. They can get there, though. And then Louisville, NC State, I think has entertaining implications with the way Louisville can play offense, with the way NC State can play defense. I think that's a quality matchup. Louisville, by the way, very quietly, what's their record right now?
Right now, Louisville's record. I noticed it as well. There is a quiet quality to the Louisville Cardinals, yes.
So Louisville right now, the offense is in a pretty good place. They make plays. The offensive line is, from what I can tell, the underlying numbers. I haven't watched a ton of Louisville this year, but when I do, they make plays, right? This Louisville team finishes with the following teams. NC State will be tough. Clemson, whatever. Syracuse, decent, but not perfect. Duke, Kentucky, obviously in the rivalry matchup. Like, Louisville, I think, has one of the more intriguing final four or five games of the season. So that's why I just put this on the list of games to consider for your eyeballs.
I like it. Well, we appreciate everybody stopping on by here.
Yes. One more request, Ty, if you could drop some big stanky. I just drum in five.
The Patriot League rides once more, Dan. Yeah. We've got three games here to discuss. 12 o'clock, ESPN Plus, Holy Cross at Lehigh. Thank you for pointing out to me, to my family, to the Solid Verbal family, that the Mountain Hawks scored their first touchdown a week ago.
Yeah, and they scored four of them, it looks like. They scored 28 points in a losing effort against somebody. I don't remember who they played, but they lost. They lost.
We go Crusaders here, right?
Crusaders big. I actually looked for lines for these games. I think they come out later in the week, so I didn't find them. Lafayette, Georgetown, Hornets Nest, Ty?
Hornets Nest game, gotta go Georgetown, right?
I'm going Yetis big here. If you look at Lafayette the way I look at Lafayette, you know that they're built. Brick by brick. And that prepares them to going into a Hornet's Nest for preparing. Yeah, whatever. You know my English is off. Bucknell Colgate, Ty.
Ooh. Ooh. Let's dim the music here.
Please.
Fade the music, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
This is in that vaunted 1 p.m. time window.
Yeah, anything goes.
You never know what you're going to get at that 1 p.m. time slot in the Patriot
Slippery
League.
Fun at 1.
Yeah. I'm going to go Gators, though. We're a Gators show on this. Your Solid Verbal podcast.
I think I'm going to go Gators as well. I am.
I mean, we
Shout
traveled to North Dakota to see the Gators.
That's true. We did.
All right.
All right. That's all I have.
don't forget, if you're out and about this weekend looking to stay up to date with what's going on in the college football world, pay a visit to our friends over at the College Football Blitz. Daniel, it is the Red Zone channel for college football on your radio airwaves. It starts every Saturday at noon Eastern time on ESPNU Radio. That's Sirius XM channel 84, or also on the Varsity Network app. You get live whip around coverage of every game in the top 25. You can hear the scoring as it happens, as called by each school's hometown radio crew. Only 3 commercial breaks per hour, which means you get 56 minutes of live play-by-play. It is hosted by whom, Daniel?
Stevie Speedrun.
Stephen Hartzell does an admirable job taking you around the country each and every week. Don't know how he does it. I've listened to that of course, it's raw talent, but I've listened to that broadcast nearly every week, not just this season, but in each of the last couple seasons. I have no idea how he's able to do it. He does a great job taking you around college football every week.
Totally agree. Worth your time. Especially you're out on the road. You need to keep track of everything. A lot of games happening at once. Maybe you're taking advantage of a window of opportunity. Heading to Home Goods. Getting some pine cone
not
apparel.
Sponsor.
I don't know what they have.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah. Not a sponsor. Could be.
Daniel, I hope your stuffiness goes away by the time
Sunday recording time
hits. Hope everyone out there has a good feel-good weekend as well, be it a sibling Saturday for you or a singlet Saturday. What was the other one you had?
Stowaway.
Stowaway Saturday. We'll post.
I'm making a bunch of pizza Friday night, Ty. So that's something to look forward to. Oh, yeah. I've got, so one of Jody's best friends, they're a Michigan couple, and we were friends with them in New York, and they now live here. They're coming over Friday night with the kiddos, and I'm doing a whole bunch of pizzas, Ty. Whole bunch. I'll share some shots in the Discord server.
Can you do one with the pepperoni in the shape of a Michigan State S?
A Spartan S. I just wish I were a Michigan State fan, because that's terrific trolling, Ty. I'm just not a fan. I don't know. What pizza could I make you? What if you've seen my pizzas, what would you request? Just a plain pie? Because you're big on the, like, this is what you order to see what they really have, to see what their talent is, like you do with, you know, your vodka penne.
I would like something with some mushroom action.
Mushrooms
or some peps, because I know you're big
straight
on
mushrooms
the...
or mushroom and pep.
I could do both on one.
Do you like it? Do you like a thicker shroom? Do you like a thinner shroom? Do you like a pre... I imagine I would pre-cook the shroom. I'm not a shroom guy, but I imagine it's better if you are able to roast off the mushrooms ahead of time to get some of that water off, so it's more of a concentrated flavor atop your pizza.
I would leave it up to you. I'm good either way, but I would probably test you out with some mushrooms and or pepperoni.
Okay. I mean, you're going to be here at some point, I hope.
At some point, we have to work
I'll
that
take
out.
Care of you.
We'll figure that out. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, wherever you may be this week 9, we hope you're able to get in front of a TV and watch some of this awesome college football action. Don't forget to give us a call, 408-VERBAL-1, that is 408-837-2251. That is our Reverb line, where you can call in throughout the course of a college football Saturday and leave us a voice message. Use it as a catharsis of sorts.
Please.
If your team is losing, or if you need to do a little bit of grave dancing, that's fine too. 408-VERBAL-1. We'll cut those together and play them as part of the recap show that Dan and I do on Sunday. If you are a Patreon premium Verballer, you can watch that show live at 10 a.m. Eastern time, thereabouts, on Sunday mornings. Otherwise, going out to solidverbal.com, hit subscribe, follow along with the show. Going out to the YouTube channel at solidsaturday.com and watch our live stream on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And last but certainly not least, if you like the show, go on out, leave us a star rating or a review. That stuff really, truly does help.
I would
greatly
love that.
Appreciate any support.
Agree.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for supporting the show. We'll be back in a few days. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.